as recorded by Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 557 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Kept by God's love to tell God's story. Kept by God's love to tell God's story. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. I'm reminded of a story that was told that happened in World War II during the bombing in Europe. A father and his son had to run out of their home and out into a ditch in the ground to take shelter from the bombs. And the father jumped in first, and he beckoned for his son to jump down into him. And it was real dark in the hole, and the son says, "But father, I can't see you." And the father says, "I know, son, but I can see you. Go ahead and jump." We can't see God. And we can't see what God is doing, but God sees us, and he knows what he's doing. And so we're safe in God's care. So we need to take comfort in the fact that we're safe in God's care no matter what else is going on. And Jesus informs his disciples that while they should expect persecution, they should not fear it. They should expect it because Jesus himself faced persecution. But they should not fear their persecutors, since the hand of man is controlled by God's sovereignty, even in the smallest matter. God has the power to stay the hand of evil that's intended for his children, or to turn that evil into good. And Jesus goes on to explain that God's sovereign will determined the lifespan of even the most insignificant of his creatures. Even the bird fall from the ground does not happen unless God says it's okay. Listen to what Jesus is really telling us. He says God's infinite knowledge accounts for even the hairs on our head. God knows every hair on your head. That means that God is in control of everything. And Jesus reminds his disciples, both then and now, of the great love which God has for his children. A love so great that it should drive out all the fear that we have within. But there is no reason for a servant of God, walking in the will of God, to fear anyone or anything. The only thing to fear is being outside the will of God. But if you're in the will of God, there's nothing that you should be afraid of. The sovereignty of God is as great a reassurance to disciples today as it was to the disciples to whom Jesus spoke. If we make it our determination to carry out the plan and the purpose of God, we have nothing to fear from those who oppose our mission, from those who oppose us in our daily life. God is our protector and our provider. If his mission is our mission, then we have placed our security in the hands of an infallible, infallible defender. Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to declare the kingdom message with boldness. To declare with boldness. But how do we do that? How do we declare that message with such boldness that the world will take notice? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. So let's turn to the Word of God to discover how to boldly proclaim this kingdom message. Looking back at the words of Jesus in verse 27, he says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to listen to the Lord's word. We need to first listen to the Lord's word. Before we can declare God's message to the world, we have to listen to what God has to say to us. We have to listen to the word and shape the way we live around the word of God. We have to shape the way that we treat our fellow man around the word of God. Some people attempt to twist the word so that it fits the things that they want to do and the things that they're already doing. But that's not the way God works. God insists on doing things his way. And when people ignore God's word, he does not immediately send fire down from heaven and burn them up, like a couple of the disciples wanted Jesus to do to the Samaritans. God doesn't do that. No, if you ignore God's word, God simply refuses to bless the things that you attempt to do. God withholds his blessings and frustrates the efforts of the disobedient. So if you find yourself frustrated time after time, you need to stop and see, am I doing what God wants me to do? But when you submit yourself to the will of God, he blesses you in so many ways that you can't number them. James chapter 4, verse 6 said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Jesus presents this requirement to all those who would seek to be his disciples, all who claim that they love him. Jesus said, if that's true, then you need to hear my word. You need to obey my word. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If you claim that you love Jesus, you have to listen to the words that Jesus has spoken. You cannot ignore the Lord's words and claim to be his disciple. A woman joined the church a few years back, and she was anxious to go out and represent the church in the community. She was active in all kinds of community things, and she seemed to be good at it. People were always telling about the good work she was doing. The only thing she did not want to do was to study the Bible. And she told me to my face that she did not believe in studying the Bible. She had had a thing against studying the Bible since she was a child, and she was not about to change now. I didn't know exactly what to say to that, except to tell her that the name of this church is Encouragement Ministries Bible Church. And I said, we believe in Bible study at this church. So if you're taking a stand against Bible study, you just might be in the wrong place. Disciples of Jesus must hear the word of Jesus. They must study the word of Jesus. And not only must you hear the word of the Lord, but you must believe the word. Because if you don't believe the word, you won't live it. If you don't believe it, you won't live it. And if you don't live out the word of God, then the word will not be truth for you. It will be philosophy, but it will not be truth. If you believe that something is truth, then you'll be willing to take great risks based on what you believe to be true. The signers of the Declaration of Independence made that famous statement at the beginning. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And they risked their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor because they believed that that declaration contained the truth. And they were willing to die for that truth. If something is true for you, then you will base the key decisions of your life upon that truth that you believe. Listen, as Paul explains this for us, in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13, he says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear the word of God and believe that it is truth. But not only must you believe the word, you must abide in the word. That means you must stay in the word. Stay with the word. Many start out with God, but then when things start going rough, they fall back on the ways and habits that are most familiar to them. They fall back on those ways and habits that cause them so much trouble, so much pain in their life, but still they fall back to them so easily. But Jesus encourages his followers to stay with him. Stay with him. He says, abide with me. That means to stay with me. And if we do that, Jesus promises that our lives will be fruitful. Look at what he says in John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. As we prepare ourselves to go out and proclaim the kingdom message, we must be sure that we understand the message. Before we can take the word to others, we must be sure that the word is in us. The word is in us. Therefore, we must spend some time in the word of God. Start your day by listening to the Lord before you listen to the world. Before you go out to fight on the Lord's battlefield, you must put on the Lord's armor. And the only weapon that will help you fight evil is the word of God. But that one weapon is enough. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse 17 he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So we must hold close to the word of God. Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to listen to the word of God. But then Jesus tells us that we must do more than just hear the word. We must go out and tell what we have heard. Look at the Lord's words again in verse 27. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to proclaim the Lord's message. Proclaim the Lord's message. Once we allow the word of God to become truth in our lives, once we begin to live out the word, we are ready to declare the word. We can't wait until we're perfect Christians to tell the word about Christ. We may not be perfect yet, but we must tell the story. And we won't be perfect until we get home to the Lord. But the Lord expects us to tell his story as we go through this life. We need to tell this imperfect world about our perfect Savior. He is perfect because he's the Son of God. His messengers are not perfect, but his message is perfect. His perfect love is the message of the kingdom. His love is the message of the kingdom. So we need to go out and declare that message with boldness. With boldness, not arrogance, but boldness. Jesus said, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. As you open your heart to the Lord by listening to his word, and as God fills you with his Holy Spirit, stand up and tell the truth of God. The problem today in our society is that the truth is seldom told. It's seldom the people seldom start out with the truth. They try to find another angle or spin to put it on the truth so that other people will believe that a lie or a half-truth is truth. They try to spin the truth. They don't start out just tell the straight truth. God's people have to be able to speak the truth, to stand on the truth, and to call a lie a lie. That takes courage, but that's what we're called to do. Those who do evil depend on the fact that most people are happy to keep certain things hidden. They are happy to keep certain things covered up. Jesus assures us that those who are struggling to keep things hidden are not trying to hide good deeds. They're trying to hide evil deeds. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth come to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus declared that his mission was to bring light into this world. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And he has given the mission of being light in the world to his disciples as well. Listen to what he said in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we stand up to speak the truth for God, it can be a scary prospect. It can be scary. Scary for several reasons. First, when you speak God's truth, you're usually outnumbered. You're usually in the minority, sometimes a minority of one. The second scary thing that confronts us is the worry that, what will I say against all of these well-formed lies and all of these half-truths? What am I going to say? But the Lord counsels us not to worry about that. He said he will give us the words that he wants us to speak at the right time. Look at what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. God is going to give you something to say if you stand on his word. Our mission from Jesus is to stand boldly in his name and to declare his truth. The kingdom message is a bold message. It's difficult to persuade people to turn from doing things their own way to start doing things God's way. That's a difficult thing to do, to try to convince somebody to do that, but that is our calling. Jesus called us to do that by word and by example. You hear what I say, by example? If we're just giving them words, it's not going to work. But if we can show the example in our life how we've changed our walk and we're walking with God, we can witness for the grace and the mercy of God. Jesus called us to do that, but he did not leave us empty-handed. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and he gave us his holy word. And that's enough to do the job. We just need to stand up in Jesus' name and declare with boldness the kingdom message. The kingdom message. Listen as Paul gives his testimony of how he was answering the call of Jesus to declare this message. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, Paul goes on from where we left off before. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Like Paul, we need to make the commitment to stand on the gospel message, to stand and to declare the gospel message and what is done in our life. Since we are kept by God's love, we need to proclaim the Lord's message with boldness. And we can make that commitment. We can make it because the sovereign ruler of the universe has made a commitment to us. Listen to Jesus as he tells us why we need to stand on God's word. Looking at verse 28, Jesus goes on and says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to rest in God's care. We need to stop worrying and rest in God's care. We can stand on the Lord's word because the Lord has our backs. God has you in the palm of his hand, and nothing sneaks up on God. God cares about you. Trust God. Trust the love of God. In the upper room with his disciples, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus gave an unshakable word of assurance to his disciples both then and now. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also.
At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus exhorts us to walk in his love. We can do nothing greater than to walk in the love of God. We can do nothing greater in this entire life than to walk in the love of God. And when we make our determination to walk in the will and love of God, we get an added benefit. We get an added benefit. That benefit is called rest. We get to rest in the Lord. That means we can turn it all over to God. The battle is his and not ours. And we can take our rest. Rest means that we don't have to be anxious about how things are going to turn out. God has the outcome in his hands. We need to trust God because he is able. He is able, therefore we can rest. When you turn something over to someone who is less experienced than you are, you have the tendency to look over their shoulder to see if they're up to the task. And that's foolishness when it comes to God. We can't keep ourselves. God can keep us better than we can keep ourselves. So we should turn our burdens over to the Lord and just rest in him. When we live in obedience to the word of God, we have the privilege of entering God's rest. Listen as the Hebrew writer explains what it means to enter into God's rest. Israel had failed to enter God's rest because of their disobedience. And the Hebrew writer warns the church to avoid Israel's failure and to enter into God's rest through obedience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest," God's rest, "has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God has provided a rest for his people. We need to learn to step into that rest. Since we are kept by the love of God, we need to rest in God's care. And now we return to the question with which we started. How do we go forth with boldness to declare the kingdom message? Well, we can go out with boldness to declare the kingdom message when we have sat down at the feet of Jesus and received his word. We can go out with boldness to declare the message when the word that we proclaim is the word that we are living. We can go out with boldness to declare the kingdom message when we put our fears aside and when we are resting in the Lord, knowing that we are kept by the love of God. And when we know that we have great power, knowledge is power. And because we know that we are kept by the love of God, we need to learn from his word. We need to live in his word. We need to speak by his word. Because we are kept by the love of God, we need to cast off all our fears, stand on our faith, proclaim our love for the God who has saved us. Because we are kept by the love of God, we need to draw near to God when troubles come our way, knowing that he is our strength and our shield. He is our protector and our provider. Because we know that we are kept by the love of God, we need to take to heart the words of the song that we sung just a little while earlier in this service. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That makes me an heir of salvation, the purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And I like the last verse. It said, perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior, praising my Savior all the day long. Because we are kept by the love of God, we need to step out on God's word and praise his holy name with all boldness and confidence. I'm going to praise him. What about you? What about you? At this time, I ask the congregation to stand. It's prayer time in the church. And as you stand, I'd ask you to prepare your heart to speak with God. In just a moment, I'm going to have an altar call. But right now, as the choir leads us in Amazing Grace, I want you to prepare your heart to commune with God. If there's something that's been in the way between you and God, put it before God right now and tell him to take it out of your life. If there's something that God has been calling you to do and you've been saying no, say yes to God right now. If you'd like to get a closer walk with God, this is your opportunity to start walking with God. Let him lead you because he knows the way. You may not be able to see God, but he can see you. And as you start to walk with him, you'll be able to see him in your life, in the things that happen in your life. As God starts to work his power in your life, you'll be able to see him and see what he's done. If you heard God's story and you believe it, and you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that you would not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that story and you haven't come to him before, now this is your time. This is your hour. You can come as a candidate for baptism or by your Christian experience. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. If you heard God's story and you want to ask for strength and guidance to make you a better Christian, to make your life a testimony to God, if that's your story and the call is given, you come. Or if you just want to thank God for what he's already done in your life, when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The door